Hare Krishna. Wish you all a happy Diwali and a wonderful Krishna conscious next year and years to come.
Oh,
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Guru Deva, Jaya Guru Deva, Guru Deva, Shila Guru Deva. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramhansa Pariprajya Kacharya Asto Tirasatasi Srimad Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Kijai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai Jai Om Vishnupad Paramhansa Pariprajya Kacharya Asto Tirasatasi Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sekaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadvip Dham Ki Jai Jamuna Mai Ki Jai Ganga Mai Ki Jai Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Samveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So we have gathered on the auspicious occasion of Deepavali. According to Srila Sanatana Goswami, the Damodar Lila, the pastime of Mother Yashoda binding Lord Krishna with ropes, took place on the Deepavali day. But the original celebration of Deepavali is for the return of Lord Ramachandra to Ayodhya after his exile. And so to begin, I will read about that. Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, and all the other incarnations are included with him. Srimad Bhagavatam is the supreme scripture, and within Srimad Bhagavatam is a summary in two chapters of the ninth canto of the Ramayana, the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. So I will read from there about Lord Ramachandra's return to Ayodhya and the significance of it and what we can learn from it. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 10, The Pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. And I'm starting at the point when Lord Ramachandra had, with Lakshman and his monkey army, come to Lanka and killed Ravana. So we'll start at text 29. I'll just read the translations. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, Vibhishan, the pious brother of Ravana and devotee of Lord Ramachandra, received approval from Lord Ramachandra, the king of Kosala. Then he performed the prescribed funeral ceremonies for his family members to save them from the path to hell. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. After giving up the body, one is transferred to another body. But sometimes, if one is too sinful, he is checked from transmigrating to another body, and thus he becomes a ghost. So at the time of death, as Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, he has his superior energy, Paraprakriti, and his inferior, Aparaprakriti. And the living entities are superior energy, spiritual, and they are covered by, you could say, two bodies: a gross material body, which is made of earth, water, fire, air, and ether, and then the subtle material body, which is made of mind, intelligence, and ego, false ego. So at the time of death, the subtle body, by death we mean when the soul leaves the body, the gross body, the subtle body stays with the living entity and accompanies him into his next gross body. But if someone is very sinful, he doesn't get a gross body, but he's just stuck in a subtle body without a gross body. But he has many material desires. That's why he was sinful. So being a ghost is a very torturous situation, because the poor creature has material desires, but he doesn't have the senses with which to fulfill those desires. And therefore ghosts try to take possession of someone else's body and fulfill their desires through the senses of the other body. To save a diseased person from ghostly life, the funeral ceremony or Shraddha ceremony, as prescribed in authorized Shastra, must be performed. Ravana was killed by Lord Ramachandra and was destined for hellish life. But by Lord Ramachandra's advice, Vibhishan, Ravana's brother, performed all the duties prescribed in relation to the dead. Thus Lord Ramachandra was kind to Ravana even after Ravana's death. Text 30. Thereafter, Lord Ramachandra found Sita Devi sitting in a small cottage beneath a tree named Simshapa in a forest of Ashoka trees. She was lean and thin, being aggrieved because of separation from him. Seeing his wife in that condition, Lord Ramachandra was very compassionate. When Lord Ramachandra came before her, she was exceedingly happy to see her beloved husband, and her lotus-like mouth showed her joy. After giving Vibhishan the power to rule the Rakshasa population of Lanka for the duration of one kalpa, Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, placed Sita Devi on an airplane decorated with flowers and then got on the plane himself. The period of his living in the forest having ended, the Lord returned to Ayodhya, accompanied by Hanuman, Sugriva, and his brother Lakshman. When Lord Ramachandra returned to his capital, Ayodhya, he was greeted on the road by the princely order, who showered his body with beautiful, fragrant flowers, while great personalities like Lord Brahma and other demigods glorified the activities of the Lord in great jubilation. Upon reaching Ayodhya, Lord Ramachandra heard that in his absence, his brother Bharat was eating barley cooked in the urine of a cow. Covering his body with the bark of trees, wearing matted locks of hair, and lying on a mattress of kusha, the most merciful Lord very much lamented this. So the history is that on the eve of what was to be Lord Ramachandra's coronation as the king of Ayodhya, his father, Maharaj Dasarath, was approached by one of his wives, Kaikeyi, to banish Lord Ramachandra for 14 years. The history is that at some time earlier, Kaikeyi had served her husband, Dasarath, in such a way that he was moved to offer her whatever benediction she would like. And she said, I won't take it now, but when the time comes I will ask. So Kaikeyi was actually a good lady. She loved Lord Ramachandra. But she had a, you could say, servant who was sort of mean and nasty and selfish And she urged Kaikei on the eve of what was to be Rama's coronation to ask for her boons from Dasarath and to have Lord Ramachandra sent into exile. This shows, of course, there are so many events that show the same principle, but this shows the effects of that association. That Kaikeyi herself was not so bad, but under the influence of this servant lady, she did something very bad. At least apparently so. So King Dasarath, being a Kshatriya, was true to his word. In fact, the whole Ramayana is full of ideals. Dasarath was the ideal father, Rama was the ideal king, ideal husband, ideal brother, Sita was the ideal wife. They're full of ideals. And so the mood of King Dasarath was, you can cut my head off, but I will not break my word. So he did. He fulfilled his promise to Kaikeyi to grant her boon, and so Ram was sent into exile. At that time, Sita asked to go with Ram, and Ram said, "No, you're a princess. You come from a royal family, and you will not be able to tolerate the hardships in the jungle." But she insisted, and eventually Lord Ram agreed. Lakshman also wanted to accompany Ram, and Ram agreed to allow him to come. And in fact, all the citizens of Ayodhya wanted to accompany Ram, but he said, "If you all come with me, what will happen to Ayodhya? It will become vacant." So he made them stay back. And Kaikeyi's desire was that her son, Bharat, should rule. And so she thought, if Ram is sent into exile, Bharat will become the king. But Bharat did not want to become the king. And He, in separation from Ram, he lived this very austere life, which we just read. In his absence, Bharat was eating barley cooked in the urine of a cow, covering his body with the bark of trees, wearing matted locks of hair and lying on a mattress of kusha. Now this, in a way, illustrates a principle enunciated in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Guru Nasasyat, Pita Nasasyat. And the idea is no one should become a guru, No one should become a father. No one should become a mother. No one should become a husband. And no one should become a superior relative unless he or she can deliver his or her dependent from the repetition of birth and death. Or in other words, if one cannot deliver one's dependent from repeated birth and death, one is not a guru, or a father, or a mother, or a husband, in the proper sense. So Srila Prabhupada quoted this verse to a devotee named Mahamsa in Bombay, to Mahamsa Prabhu and to me, just after he got the Juku land. He was staying in a life member's a small bungalow near the Juku temple, and so he quoted this verse from the fifth canto, and he gave examples, and later I found those examples in his purport of devotees who did not, you know, who disobeyed, you can say, who disobeyed their gurus, fathers, mothers, husbands, and so on, because they were not real gurus, fathers, mothers, husbands, and so on, because they weren't helping their dependent become free from the cycle of birth and death. So we all, in our various positions, and most of us, not all, but many of us here, are fathers or mothers or husbands. So we have a very grave responsibility to deliver our dependents. So while speaking to Mahamsa Prabhu and me, Srila Prabhupada quoted various examples. So one was Guru. Bali Maharaj had a guru named Shukracharya who advised him not to surrender to Vishnu in the form of Amadei. But Bali Maharaj disobeyed his so-called guru's instruction. But that was not a fault, because his guru was not helping him to become delivered from repeated birth and death, which is possible only by becoming a pure devotee of Krishna. And Jai Shishirada Vilamada Bhakti Jai. Then it is the duty of the son to protect the father if the father is attacked. But when Hiranyakashipu was attacked by Lord Nrisimhadeva, Prahlad did not make any effort to protect his father, but rather he glorified Nrisimhadeva, who killed his father. But that was not a fault, because Hiranyakashipu is not a real father. It is the duty of the wife to obey the husband. But when Lord Krishna and Balaram. And their cowherd friends approached the wives of the yogic brahmanas for food. Their husbands forbade them to agree to serve Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd wives, and those ladies disobeyed their husbands. But that was not a fault, because they were not real husbands. So then Srila Prabhupada said to us, Mahamsa Prabhu and me, that and Mahamsa Prabhu was also from quite a wealthy family in Bombay. He was from a Parsi family, and they owned a company of billboards or hoardings called Selvel. So he was saying to us that you have left your fathers and mothers, and they may not be very happy that you came to Krishna consciousness. But by this definition, they're not real fathers and mothers, and so you've done the right thing. So, one of those examples is it's the duty of the son to obey the mother. But when Kaikeyi wanted Bharat to sit on the throne, he refused. But that was not a fault, because she was not a real mother. She was not guiding him in such a way as to end the cycle of birth and death. Text 35 to 38. When Lord Bharat understood that Lord Ramachandra was returning to the capital, Ayodhya, he immediately took upon his own head Lord Ramachandra's wooden shoes and came out from his camp at Nandigram. So Bharat kept Lord Ramachandra's shoes as the symbolic representation of Lord Ramachandra, whom he considered to actually be the king. And he was ruling only on behalf of Lord Ramachandra in his absence. Lord Bharat was accompanied by ministers, priests, and other respectable citizens, by professional musicians, vibrating pleasing musical sounds, and by learned Brahmins loudly chanting Vedic hymns. Following in the procession were chariots drawn by beautiful horses with harnesses of golden rope. These chariots were decorated by flags with golden embroidery, and by other flags of various sizes and patterns. There were soldiers bedecked with golden armor, servants bearing betel nut, and many well-known and beautiful prostitutes. Many servants followed on foot, bearing an umbrella, whisks, different grades of precious jewels, and other paraphernalia befitting a royal reception. Accompanied in this way, Lord Bharat, his heart softened in ecstasy and his eyes full of tears, approached Lord Ramachandra and fell at his lotus feet with great ecstatic love. So we can see what an ideal brother Lord Bharat was, he didn't have any ambition to rule the kingdom in Lord Ramachandra's absence. And as we just read, he was living such an austere and, in a way, miserable life in separation from Lord Ramachandra. But when Lord Ramachandra returned, and today is that day, Deepavali, that celebrates his return, he came to life and he organized all the royal paraphernalia to receive Lord Ramachandra. So no envy, no personal separate ambition, just pure love and service. Texts 39 and 40. After offering the wooden shoes before Lord Ramachandra, Lord Bharat stood with folded hands, his eyes full of tears, and Lord Ramachandra bathed Bharat with his own tears. While embracing him with both arms for a long time. Such a moving reunion. Accompanied by Mother Sita and Lakshman, Lord Ramachandra then offered his respectful obeisances unto the learned Brahmins and the elderly persons in the family. And the citizens of Ayodhya offered their respectful obeisances unto the Lord. So though Lord Ramachandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he was acting, you know, as an ideal person. And so he offered his respectful obeisances to the superior personalities. 41. The citizens of Ayodhya, upon seeing their king return after a long absence, offered him flower garlands, waved their upper cloths, and danced in great jubilation. O king, Lord Bharat carried Lord Ramachandra's wooden shoes. Sugriva and Bibhishan carried a whisk and an excellent fan. Hanuman carried a white umbrella. Shatrughna, who is another brother of Lord Ram's, Shatrughna carried a bow and two quivers. And Sita Devi carried a water pot filled with water from holy places. Angada carried a sword, and Jambavan, king of the rikshas, carried a golden shield. O King Parikshit, as the Lord sat on his airplane of flowers, with women offering him prayers and reciters chanting about his characteristics, he appeared like the moon with the stars and planets. Thereafter, having been welcomed by his brother Bharat, Lord Ramachandra entered the city of Ayodhya in the midst of a festival. That's this festival, Deepavali. When he entered the palace, he offered obeisances to all the mothers, including Kaikeyi and the other wives of Maharaj Dasarath. By the way, Maharaj Dasarath died of shock. I mean, he kept his word and he sent Ram into exile and then he died from the shock. When Lord Ramachandra entered the palace, he offered obeisances to all the mothers, including Kaikeyi, and the other wives of Maharaj Dasarath, and especially his own mother, Kaushalya. He also offered obeisances to the spiritual preceptors, such as Vasishta. Friends of his own age and younger friends worshipped him, and he returned their respectful obeisances, as did Lakshman and Mother Sita. In this way, they all entered the palace. So there was tremendous love and affection, but the expression of that love and affection was done according to the etiquette of the different person's stations in life. 47. Upon seeing their sons, the mothers of Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna immediately arose, like unconscious bodies returning to consciousness. The mothers placed their sons on their laps and bathed them with tears, thus relieving themselves of the grief of long separation. The family priest or spiritual master, Vasishta, had Lord Ramachandra cleanly shaved, freeing him from his matted locks of hair. Then, with the cooperation of the elderly members of the family, he performed the bathing ceremony, abhishek, for Lord Ramachandra, with the water of the four seas and with other substances, just as it was performed for King Indra. Lord Ramachandra, fully bathed and his head clean shaven, dressed himself very nicely and was decorated with a garland and ornaments. Thus he shone brightly, surrounded by his brothers and wife, who were similarly dressed and ornamented. Now we come to a very, very important verse and purport, actually two, which conclude the chapter. We come to text 50. Agrahit asanam bratra pranipatya prasadita praja swadharma nirata varnashrama gunanvita jugopa prithrivad ramo menire pitaram chatam. Translation. Being pleased by the full surrender and submission of Lord Bharat, Lord Ramachandra then accepted the throne of the state. He cared for the citizens exactly like a father, and the citizens, being fully engaged in their occupational duties of varna and ashram, accepted him as their father. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. People are very fond of the pattern of Ram Rajya. And even today, politicians sometimes form a party called Ram Rajya. But unfortunately, they have no obedience to Lord Rama. It is sometimes said that people want the kingdom of God without God. Such an aspiration, however, is never to be fulfilled. Good government can exist when the relationship between the citizens and the government is like that exemplified by Lord Ramachandra and his citizens. Well, we have a little ways to go there, but I'll read it again so we at least can keep in mind what the ideal is. Good government can exist when the relationship between the citizens and the government is like that exemplified by Lord Ramachandra and his citizens. Lord Ramachandra ruled his kingdom exactly as a father takes care of his children. And the citizens, being obliged to the good government of Lord Ramachandra, accepted the Lord as their father. Thus the relationship between the citizens and the government should be exactly like that between father and son. When the sons in a family are well trained, they are obedient to the mother and father. I think all of our children are like that, of course. When the sons in a family are well trained, they are obedient to the father and mother. And when the father is qualified, he takes good care of the children. As indicated here by the words, Swadharma Nirata Varnashrama Guna Vitaha, the people were good citizens because they accepted the institution of varna and ashram, which arranges society in the varna divisions of Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, and the ashram divisions of Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. This is actual human civilization. So Srila Prabhupada often quoted the verse, Dharmena Hina Pasubhi Shamana, that without Dharma, which begins with Varnashram Dharma, Dharmena Hina, without Dharma, Pasubhi Shamana, that men are the same as animals, they're no better than animals. So this is actual human civilization. Otherwise, it's not human. People must be trained according to the different varnashram occupational duties, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.13, Chatur Varnyam Maya Shristam Guna Karma Vibhagasa. The four varnas must be established according to varying qualities of work. So, the varnashram system was created by Lord Krishna, as he himself states in the Bhagavad Gita, according to guna, which means quality, and karma, which means work. There is no mention of janma, that one's position in varnashram depends on one's birth. There's no such mention. But a, you could say, degradation took place in India, and people started claiming they were Brahmins on the basis of their birth, and trying to exercise artificial superiority and control of others on the basis of their birth. So I remember in 1977, J. Prakash Narayan, who's like one of the revolutionaries in India's independence movement. So he organized a huge gathering to protest this artificial false domination of the Brahmins. And in that gathering of lakhs of people, they had a big bonfire. And the people came and put their sacred threads in the bonfire. And when we informed Srila Prabhupada He said, good. They admit that they're all sudras. So, the first principle for good government is that it must institute this varnashram system, Daivi varnashram, based on qualities and work for the pleasure of Krishna. The purpose of varnashram is to enable people to become God conscious. Varnashrama charavata purushena parapumam vishnur aradyate. So in Lord Chaitanya's discussion with Ramananda Rai, Lord Chaitanya was playing the part of the student and asking Rai Ramananda to play the part of the instructor, and he asked him about sadhana and sadhya. What is the perfection of life and what is the means to attain it? And there's like a gradual progression. And Lord Chaitanya kept saying, iha bhaya, this is external, go further, say more. But at the beginning of the discussion, Ramananda Rai quoted this verse. And it's not wrong. I mean, it is a way to perfection, but it's a step on the way. So, varnashrama charavata purushena parapumam vishnur aradyate. Vishnur, the purpose is to worship Vishnu. The entire varnashram scheme is intended to enable people to become Vaishnavas, Vishnur Asya Devata. When people worship Lord Vishnu as the Supreme Lord, they become Vaishnavas. So yeah, the verse says Vishnur Aradyate. Varnashram is for worshiping Vishnu, and when you worship Vishnu, you become a Vaishnava. So that's the actual goal. Thus, people should be trained to become Vaishnavas through the system of Varna and Ashram, as they were during the reign of Lord Ramachandra, when everyone was fully trained to follow the Varnashram principles. Simply enforcing law and ordinances cannot make the citizens obedient and lawful. That is impossible. Throughout the entire world, there are so many states, legislative assemblies, and parliaments, but still their citizens are rogues and thieves. Good citizenship, therefore, cannot be enforced. The citizens must be trained. As there are schools and colleges to train students to become chemical engineers, lawyers, or specialists in many other departments of knowledge, there must be schools and colleges to train students to become Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Sudras, Brahmacharis, Grihasthas, Vanaprasthas, and Sannyasis. Srila Prabhupada spoke of ISKCON having a Varnashram college to train people in these different duties. This will provide the preliminary condition for good citizenship. Varnashrama gunan vitaha. Generally speaking, if the king or president is a Rajarshi, the relationship between the citizen and the chief executive head will be clear, and there will be no possibility of disruption in the state, because the number of thieves and rogues will decrease. Recently I heard a talk in which Srila Prabhupada spoke about the king of Kashmir, even as, I think within the last 100 years, or maybe it was within the last 100 years of when Srila Prabhupada was giving the talk, but he said there was no stealing in that state. People didn't even have to lock their doors. Because if the king found a thief, he would cut off his hands. And that's, I mean, that could be discussed, the intricacies of that principle. But, yeah. But the thing is, as Srila Prabhupada often points out, that the government leaders in Kali Yuga, by and large, themselves are rogues and thieves. So it's very hard for them to take action against smaller rogues and thieves. it's like Hirachor and Kirachor. Hira means diamond. So, forget the details, but when Alexander the Great came to India, he arrested someone for stealing. And I think Kira means cucumber? Yeah. So the thief whom he arrested said, you're just a bigger thief, and I'm just a smaller thief. You're like a Hirachor and I'm like a Kirachor. So why are you punishing me? And Alexander the Great couldn't really answer because it was true. So so we need a government of, you know, Rajarshis, of real leaders, and then they can protect the citizens and take appropriate action against the rogues and thieves. In Kali Yuga, well, I'll just reread that. Generally speaking, if the king or president is a Rajarshi, the relationship between the citizens and the chief executive will be clear, and there will be no possibility of disruption in the state, because the number of thieves and rogues will decrease. In Kali Yuga, however, because the Varnashram system is neglected, people are generally thieves and rogues. In the system of democracy, such thieves and rogues naturally collect money from other thieves and rogues. And thus there is chaos in every government and no one is happy. That's true. But here the example of good government is to be found in the reign of Lord Ramachandra. If people follow this example, there will be good government all over the world. And Srila Prabhupada often said that in this age of democracy, I mean, he actually favored monarchy in the proper sense, like existed in India with the Rajarshis, saintly kings. And he said the problem with democracy as it's practiced now is that the voters are not qualified to choose. There was something like democracy in the Vedic times in which, if necessary, learned Brahmins would intervene and select a king. Like Vena Maharaj, he was a king, but he was actually bad. So the Brahmins, by their spiritual power, they removed him, and in his place they instated Prithu Maharaj. So in a way you could say they elected that Prithu Maharaj should become the king. But when the people are, you know, rogues and thieves and they don't know what the standard is or who to vote for, they'll just elect other rogues and thieves. As the Bhagavatam says, people who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses eulogize other people who aren't devotees, in effect, you know, who don't chant and hear the glories of the Lord. So that's what we have. We have the smaller animals electing the bigger animals. Text 51. Lord Ramachandra became king during Treta Yuga, but because of his good government, the age was like Satya Yuga. Everyone was religious and completely happy. And this is the last verse, and the purport is wonderful. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Among the four yugas, Satya, Treta, Dwapara, and Kali, the Kali Yuga is the worst. But if the process of Varnashram Dharma is introduced, even in this age of Kali, the situation of Satya Yuga can be invoked. The Hare Krishna movement or Krishna consciousness movement is meant for this purpose. Kaler dosha nide rajan asti hieko mahan guna kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sangha param brijat. My dear king, although Kali Yuga is full of faults, the literal dosha nide, it's an ocean of faults. My dear king, although Kali Yuga is full of faults, there is still one good quality about this age. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, okay, if people take to the Sankirtan movement of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, they will certainly be freed from the contamination of Kali Yuga. And the people of this age will be happy, as people were in Satya Yuga, the golden age. Anyone, anywhere, is everyone here someone? Are you somewhere? Anyone, anywhere, can easily take to this Hare Krishna movement. One need only chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, observe the rules and regulations, and stay free from the contamination of sinful life. Even if one is sinful and cannot give up sinful life immediately, if he chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with devotion and faith, he will certainly be freed from all sinful activities, and his life will be successful. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. This is the blessing of Lord Ramachandra, who has appeared in this age of Kali as Lord Gaurasundar or Gaurachandra. Hare Krishna. So this is the last verse and purport in this series, and so we will end the reading now and ask if any of you have any questions or comments. Yes, Dr. Matt. A microphone is coming.
I Is the celebration of Diwali based on the lunar and or solar calendar?
Yes, our observances are based on the lunar calendar. And so the dates vary from year to year on the solar calendar. Except for Makar Sankranti, for some reason, it is always January 14th. Although it's calculated according to the lunar calendar, but it always ends up being January 14th. But yeah, otherwise it does vary according to the lunar calendar. Yes, Shankar Shan Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, you read the verse from the 10th canto, 5th verse and 5th chapter, 18th verse. Guru na sashya, sojana na sashya, pita na sashya, jani na sashya. With the Prabhupada in the first line, he said, Rishabhji says that one should not become the spiritual master if he is unable to to protect the disciple from the, to save his disciple from the center of the temple. So what happens if the disciple falls down, the Guru is going to be the disciple of this time?
Well, the Guru's duty is to give the correct instructions, and the disciple's duty is to follow the instructions. And, you know, and it was, Srila Prabhupada said that, you know, if a disciple doesn't finish in this life, that he or the guru will come back until the disciple goes back to Godhead.
Even the guru will come back?
Yeah, but we could discuss that. But yes, that's the idea. But that applies to cases in which the disciple fails to execute the orders out of weakness. If by chance the disciple rejects the guru, then that terminates the agreement. But if the disciple doesn't reject the guru, but wants to follow the guru's instructions, but is just too weak to do so, then the guru will keep coming back. So now what does that mean, coming back? After Srila Prabhupada left, His Holiness Tamalkrishna Goswami and I and a few devotees went to consult Srila Prabhupada's god brother, Srila Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj, who's a very learned devotee. So we were discussing this question that Srila Prabhupada said he would come back until all his disciples were delivered from the material world. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj was saying that, you know, well, it doesn't mean that he'll come back personally, but he'll make sure that his disciples have the guidance they need to go back to Godhead. But Tamalkrishna Goswami was very attached to the idea of Srila Prabhupada. And so Srila Sridhar Swami Maharaj presented like a hypothetical discussion between Krishna and Srila Prabhupada in the spiritual world. And Srila Prabhupada was saying to Krishna that, you know, my disciples who are still in the material world are asking for me. And Krishna was saying, you know, that's all right, you don't have to go personally, I'll arrange that they get guidance so that they can continue their spiritual progress. And then Srila Prabhupada said, But they want only me. They won't accept anyone else. This is in response, like, to Tamal Krishna Goswami's insistence. And then Krishna said, all right, you know, if they won't accept anyone else, then you can go. But that is the principle. Chaku dandi lo ye janme prabhu se. His spiritual master is my Lord, life after life. See, it's eternal. In principle, it's eternal. The reason I say in principle is because Bhaktivinoda Thakur uses that term. He says in principle it's eternal. But if the disciple unfortunately rejects the guru, then that eternal contract, if you will, is broken. Yes, Ananda Loka Prabhu.
I was just wondering, thank you very much. I was just wondering if you could elaborate on the situation if the disciple breaks that contract and rejects his guru, what is his position?
The disciple's position?
Yes, Lord.
Very unfortunate. It's a terrible offense to reject a bona fide spiritual master. I mean, what is his position? In a way, you could say he has no position, because yasya prasadat bhagavat prasada, by the mercy of the spiritual master, one gets the mercy of Krishna. Yasya prasadat nagati kutopi. So aprasada means without the mercy of the spiritual master, nagati kutopi, one has no means of advancement, one has no position spiritually. But so we should try to obviously avoid that unfortunate occurrence from taking place, and if someone to our knowledge does that, you can just pray for the person and hope that we can, you know, directly or indirectly help them come to his senses. Yeah. Hey Krishna. Yes, Krishna Kripa. Prabhu.
What kept coming up to me during your reading was that the Saiti Maharshram system is based not only on the acceptance of one's social status, but the mutual respect between those various social status. Like, there was such respect and love towards Ram, but Ram had this similar respect and love for the prejudice. Even amongst the brothers, all accepted that Ram was Ram. He's our leader, and even without him, they wouldn't accept their leadership except under his directive. So this is all, you know, has to be, it's just another level of existence. As we talked about in Prabhupada's purports of the present age, that's really just not possible. Even on a small microcosm of say, this kind of our spiritual efforts, can we actually really come to that stage of mutual respect for everyone?
Well, it's good you brought that up, because I was thinking, when I was thinking about my talk today, I had in mind to mention that this gives the key to our being successful in every unit, you can say, you know, in the family unit, in the temple unit, and that is, I'll read it. If people take to the Sankirtan movement of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, they will certainly be freed from the contamination of Kali Yuga, and the people of this age will be happy as people were in Satya Yuga, the golden age. anyone, anywhere, can easily take to this Hare Krishna movement. One need only chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, observe the rules and regulations, and stay free from the contaminations of sinful life. So if we do this, then we're not in Kali Yuga anymore. If we do this, we're not in Kali Yuga anymore. It's like Satya Yuga. People are religious and happy. So we can do that in our homes, in our temples. We should. That's what we're meant to do. But for that we need Krishna Kripa. As we read in the Damodar pastime, which took place on this day, Deepavali, by the combination of Parishram, hard labor, a personal endeavor, and Krishna Kripa, one can bind Krishna. So, we need Krishna Kripa. All right, so thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. Look forward to seeing you again in the evening. Hare Krishna.